And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This show. I mean, it goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border, what we call once again Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And that's just radio. And then, oh, by the way, there's the online audience, all y'all that go out there on the World Wide Web and pull us up on YouTube and X and our website, rightsidemedia.org, all of it. Thank you very much. We appreciate you. This audience is just, like, awesome. All right, so every Friday we do this thing where we, like, set all the machinations of government and culture and politics aside, and we step back and we dive on into a discussion on sports. So JP is a guru on sports. Like, I learn from him every week on sports, but he's also got his own sound effect, courtesy of Sorority Girls at Auburn. Hit it, man.
JP on sports!
Nice. Every 22-year-old should have a girl shouting their name.
Hey, what can I say?
All right, so we got two rounds of JP on sports. We got one. The first round's called the three and out. He gives us top three stories. Second round's called the two-minute warnings with a buzzer and a timer. Three and out. Go, buddy.
Well, we got NBA Finals. End of the NBA season is upon us, but we got the Pacers and the Thunder, who had game one last night. I know I said it several times during the Eastern and Western Conference Finals that the winner of the Eastern Conference Finals wins the responsibility of losing to the Thunder in the championship. But the Pacers stole game one, and they actually had they were down by double digits in the fourth quarter and came back, and Tyrese Halliburton hit a game-winning 2-point shot to beat the Thunder. So a massive game one for the Pacers at the Thunder in Oklahoma City. So on the road, stealing game one was huge for them, and they actually did the same thing against the Knicks last series I would say a game winner, but it was a big shot to send it to overtime, which eventually they won, where they went to Madison Square Garden and did that. So it's almost like a repeat, and one has to wonder if the series result is going to repeat again and the Pacers are going to end up winning. But this is an interesting series because it's like two small market teams of Oklahoma City and the Pacers. You know, it's not like the Celtics and the Lakers, you know, sort of matchup. It's small market teams.
Do they have small market money?
Yeah, no, yeah. It's. I mean, the NBA gives the smaller market teams, you know, opportunities to compete with the big market teams. But still, I mean, the Pacers and the Thunder do not compete, you know, financially with the big market teams in the NBA by any stretch. So it is pretty impressive that both of these teams were able to make it to the finals. But there's been an interesting discussion in the sports world about the finals, which I've kind of noticed myself, but it's kind of actually being discussed, out in the open and more frequently, of the lack of effort in the production of the finals is so low, and this year it's just getting even lower.
What do you mean seems. Production?
Like the visual, you know, in the past they had like the court logos like on the midcourt for the finals, like when I was a kid, like in the 2010s, you know, we had Kobe and LeBron, you know, going like in their primes. You had the trophy on the logo. You had like a special cursive, nice like finals logo, like on the sides. Like they actually tried to give, you know, the finals a special feel. Before the games, they would have like court, like on the court, like presentations of film of like, you know, old NBA footage of the finals, like they actually like tried to give it some aura, and you know, like, wow, I'm actually watching the finals, like this is pretty cool. It has a special feel to it.
So what, do you have like the Dollar General version of the NBA finals now?
It's just like another game. No new score bug, no new logos on the court. There's no special feel to the finals. It's like bland corporatism, and I don't know, it's just like I'd love to see the NBA actually give some effort again to make the finals a special watch.
Okay.
That is the culmination of your season. That is the grand, like that is the grand ending, and it's just like, why you gotta put some more effort into it. So maybe that would help drive up viewers again, you
okay.
know, if we can do that. So
fair enough. Is that one? All right, that's one. Two. What's got two?
Got the NHL Stanley Cup as well. We got the Edmonton Oilers. They stole game one against the Dallas Stars last night. And we actually got a rematch in the Stanley Cup. Florida Panthers. Florida Panthers, we got a rematch of last year's Stanley Cup there. So we got game two tonight as well in Edmonton there. The greatest trophy in sports, in my opinion, the Stanley Cup. It is just the best. I mean, it's for sure the biggest, but the best for sure.
Like physically the biggest.
Oh, yeah. It's for sure the biggest. But also, yeah, I just talked about, you know, the production of the finals. That is a great watch, the Stanley Cup. I feel like the NHL really goes all out to make it a special watch for sure. So, yeah, we'll see if the Panthers can repeat or if the Oilers can get revenge for last year losing to them in the Stanley Cup finals.
Cool. All right. Wow, you're blowing right through two.
Meaty number three, for sure.
Oh, okay, this is going to be the big one.
The meaty number three. All right, so I guess the winner of this week's transgender in sports, I guess.
Oh, my gosh. Being eliminated. We need a whole dipper just for this, like a whole segment.
Hey, if I got to, I'll call it out weekly if I have to, but we got Marissa Rothenberger, this high school softball pitcher.
Marissa.
Yeah, his new name, Marissa, in Minnesota softball high school pitcher. I mentioned it last week when they beat the defending champs, shut them out. Well, they just won the state championship today, and Marissa Rothenberger pitched 21 consecutive scoreless innings for the team that won the state championship. 21 consecutive. That means nobody pitched for the state championship team other than this dude, and he didn't give up a run in the entire time he pitched.
Unbelievable.
And it's... it is unbelievable, but we also haven't gotten any comment of anything from Tim Walz on this. I mean, obviously you're not going to. This is the guy that put tampons in, you know, men's bathrooms and middle schools in his state. So it is kind of fitting that they would be from Minnesota. But we actually had Democrats protesting at the game, you know, against Marissa Rothenberger pitching.
Democrats.
Yeah, like they had shirts on against like Dems against transgenders or something like that. Dems against men and women's sports. So this was not just like we had actual Minnesota Democrat voters at the game, you know, protesting against this. And the Minnesota whatever high school athletic association Twitter account put up a tweet of a picture of them with the trophy and said that, you know, here's your winners of the state championship. And they turned off the comments.
They turned off. So, that's a clear indication they know where this is going.
It's a clear indication they know that they're going to get some heat on this. The only way it's going to end is if it gets continually called out and smushy governors like Tim Walz. You put the pressure on them. You hold their feet to the fire. And I'll say it again. Like I say every time, I feel like I talk about this issue is we got high school girls who have waited their entire high school career to get to that moment in the state championship, and they didn't even have a chance to have a fair competition, and they'll remember that the rest of their lives. You don't get to redo high school sports. You don't get to redo your senior year. How many seniors?
There's no portal.
No. How many seniors got to that point in their high school career and it was stolen from them because they had to go up against a guy who was pitching? And it's for to do 21 straight consecutive innings without even a pitch off. What does that tell you? That's insane.
You know, and I'm going to stereotype. Can I jump in for a second?
Yeah.
I'm going to stereotype for a little bit. Softball girls are usually stockier, and they look mm-hmm. more like they can, like, hurt somebody mm-hmm. than most other girl sports that I've seen.
Yeah.
Some big corn-fed, you know, Nebraska softball girl needs to go ahead and rush the mound and just take old Marissa down a notch.
Hey, it's, yeah.
Go ahead and have at it.
He needs to be humiliated somehow because he's just obviously he's so insecure. He can't play in the boys' league. He's got to go and beat up on other girls, and you know because that's gonna prop him up somehow. But it's a joke. And I knew that when they shut out the defending champs, they were probably gonna win it all. However, though, I do want to point out a win in this area because Nebraska actually signed into law banning biological males from competing in women's sports. So that is now Nebraska state law. So although that, you know, we still have these instances like in Minnesota, I do feel nationwide, people are putting pressure on those little instances like this, like in Minnesota. Like, I know during the Biden administration, this were to happen, not much would have been said. I mean, obviously you would have people like us conservatives calling it out, but I feel like nationwide, this story in particular is really getting called out, and I think across the board, it's becoming normal to actually have some common sense and call it out like this. So hopefully over time, more pressure is going to be put on the Gavin Newsoms, the Tim Waltzes, the Janet Mills, was it the governor mm-hmm. of Maine? Yeah. Like, they're starting to become the minority here. And people are starting to, it's almost like people realize, you know, saying the emperor has no clothes. It's like, you guys are crazy. You know, we can actually say it now. This is nuts.
Yeah.
So although it's still happening, I think across the board we're winning.
And the reality is if Marissa, mm-hmm. I keep doing air quotes. Yeah, I'm on radio. Oh, right, I do have a camera. Okay, Marissa.
Yeah.
If Marissa had just had a decent game and had won, you know, but pitching 21 straight no-hitter innings, mm-hmm. is that what you said?
No run innings.
Yes. Okay. But even still, if that level of disparity mm-hmm. clearly indicates this is not normal.
Yeah.
That's not a girl. If it was, there might have been a good game, maybe even a win, but it wouldn't have been that.
Yeah. And if the girls went up against a stud girl pitcher who just shut them out, hey, fair play to you. You were better. But that wasn't fair. They didn't even have a shot.
Rush the mound.
Yes.
clear the bench. Just go ahead and just clear the bench. Just come out of the dugout and go ahead and have at it, right? And see how well old Marissa holds up.
Yeah.
That's what I say. just make it ugly for a minute.
Humiliate him.
What's it going to take? I don't know.
Something like that.
Put it all on the line. You already didn't win the state championship. Just go ahead and leave a bruise before you leave the field.
Yeah, and you're not being fair sports. He's the fair sport. Or non-fair sport. He's the sore loser or the sore sport, whatever, because he's going up against girls.
Am I calling for violence in sports?
Hey, vigilantism is.
All right, that's three, and that's out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Round two, JP on sports. 2-minute warning, buzzer, and the timer. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Man, I'm talking about just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're back to round number two, JP on sports. This round we call the 2-minute warning. So I've literally got a timer and we got a buzzer. He gets 2 minutes per topic, anything in the world sports. 2 minutes, ready, go.
So I'm going to start off with a feel-good story here. So Mike Leach, the late beloved coach who unfortunately passed away 2 years ago, I believe it was, from a heart attack. He was previously ineligible to go into the College Football Hall of Fame because the requirements for college football coaches to be inducted is to have a 600 winning percentage. And Mike Leach had a 595 winning percentage. So
you have to win
60% of your games, and he won 59.5. So 0.5 away from
round up
from being well. So now the College Football Hall of Fame this year has officially deducted their requirements to 59.4 to get into the Hall of Fame to let Mike Leach come into the Hall of Fame. So
the Leach rule
that's a big W in my opinion for them to do that. He very much deserves to be in the Hall of Fame for his contributions to college football. I mean the West Coast offense, the air raid offense, which everybody uses now across the board. He literally created that from the ground up with his creativity and innovation. However, I did see it was Scott Butcher who tweeted this about the story. He goes, part of me feels like Mike Leach would not approve of this, of the rules being tweaked for him to be in. And I said, then I'm like, you know, he may be right. Mike Leach may be sitting up there being like, really, guys, come on. Yeah, he probably wouldn't be happy about this. But for what it's worth, I'm very happy that Mike Leach is gaining his flowers and able to be rightfully inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. And, you said the Leach rule. Just how about the air raid rule? You got
the air raid rule. West Coast rule.
He contributed so much to college football. College football deserves to give him his flowers properly, so I'm happy to see that story.
Nice. Okay, you came in under the clock. Mm-hmm. I'm going to clear it. I'm going to reset it, and you go.
So, interesting story here. I'm curious to know, the listeners, what they think about this. The SEC is now ramping up its punishments to schools who rush the field after winning games, and this has been a big topic of discussion over the last couple of years since the SEC put in this rule. I believe it was 3 or 4 years ago. It was $100,000 fine for schools who rush the field or the court in basketball. And now it's been ramped up to $500,000 this year. $500,000 the school has to pay if their students rush the field after a game. And my initial reaction is that's kind of silly. I feel like the rushing the field after a game, that's what adds to the sport. I mean, it was against my team, but it was great when, you know, Tennessee took down the goalpost and then went and literally dumped it into the river, like after Tennessee, you know, beat Alabama. Like, stuff like that is like, that adds to the experience of college sports. That's what makes college sports fun and what makes it great. However, the flip side of it, though, is players get injured. You know, sometimes people rush the court. I mean, we saw Kyle Filipowski rolled his ankle when the court was getting stormed in basketball for Duke. And, you know, we've seen instances of, you know, fans, you know, going up in players' faces, you know, pushing them over. That's an aspect that's like, okay, I can kind of understand where they're coming from. I'm a bit divided on this, though. It's so fun to watch, you know, fans storm the court. $500,000, though, what can you do? I mean, they're literally going to have to put security guards, like, ironclad, like, across the field to, hey, no, like literally security guards around the entire fence to stop
play inside a cage.
Or yeah, like my head's like, okay, you can ramp up the punishments, but like people are gonna do what they're gonna do. You know, it's like schools can only control that so much. But yeah, maybe they're gonna have to, you know, put security guards like link arms and like we're not breaking, you know, or make the fans pay the $500,000.
Don't tase me, bro.
Yeah, maybe everybody that shows up to the game, you have to pay to the $500,000 fine.
Hey, hit the buzzer. Oh, all right, you ran it to the talk. All right, we're gonna reset right now. Ready, go.
Aaron Rodgers now has a new team. He has signed a $10 million contract, one-year contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday. The news kind of got, you know...
got buried under Trump and Elon.
Got buried under a lot of other things, but he did yesterday. He signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. There was a lot of there was a lot of questioning if he was going to do that. He made a comment about, you know, how he was still thinking about things, and apparently the Steelers actually didn't draft a quarterback in the draft this past draft because they, you know, expected Aaron Rodgers to come be on their team. It's interesting choice though, because, you know, my initial reaction is, instead of drafting an old washed guy, why don't you draft a franchise quarterback? You know, like, I don't know.
They got 1 year out of him.
They get 1 year. So
how old is he?
He is over 40, I believe.
Which is ancient in NFL time.
And not only that, but he just tore his Achilles. He's 41. He just tore his Achilles 2 years ago. So he's a one-legged 41-year-old quarterback. I get it. I get it. He's a Hall of Famer, and he's not a bad quarterback by any means, but I don't know. I think they're bridging, you know, to get to this next quarterback class, which is much better than this past quarterback class. But Aaron Rodgers, man, he's becoming a diva of all divas. I don't know. He's kind of a locker room issue, in my opinion. We saw how the Jets stint went with him there. It did not go well, and there's a reason that Green Bay ran him off. So I don't know. I feel like Pittsburgh may be regretting this decision down the line when they get the real Aaron Rodgers experience. But hey, it's just 1 year, I guess.
It was $10 million.
It's just $10 million.
It's just $10 million.
So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if he can do any better on the Steelers this year than on the Jets, but I would bet probably not.
If they had called, I'd have done it for half that.
Yeah, I'd take about a quarter of that.
Okay. That's fair.
And I'm not 41, and I got two good working legs.
There's the buzzer. Do we have time? What do we got?
We got about 20 seconds there.
Take what you got.
Well, I guess we can talk. We got a UFC pay-per-view this weekend. We got a Sean O'Malley fighting a rematch against Merab Walashvili, who beat him last time. So that'll be a very interesting rematch. We also got Juliana Pena fighting against Kayla Harrison here this weekend. So a solid UFC 316 card. It'll be interesting to see if Sean O'Malley can get the belt back this week. He took a lot of time off. Wow. Did it again. But yeah, interesting card. We'll see how it goes.
All right, good enough. JP on sports. You ran, 3.5 there on the 2-minute warnings. Okay, good stuff. Great stuff, man. We'll come right back. John Wall, Alabama Republican Party, calling in. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.